I think a lot of times we get confused. We get confused about what we as believers in Jesus are supposed to do and about what part God through Christ by the Holy Spirit does. And we have some believers that try to be God. They try to do everything. They try to think of the plan. They try to create the mechanism to fulfill the plan. They try to just take it all on themselves and make it happen. But then on the other side of the aisle, we've got people who will pray and they'll sit on their hands and they'll make absolutely no effort waiting for God to slap them in the face with an answer. Both sides are wrong. One of the greatest maturity issues in the church is learning what is God's part and what is our part. We got to let God be God. But then again, we've also sometimes got to do our part and expend some effort in order to receive that which God has laid up in store for us. Christianity is not a passive faith. Let me say that again. Christianity is not a passive faith. We don't just sit there and wait for God to slap us upside the head and drop the treasure chest in our lap. By the same token, we can't earn it. Scripture's very clear on that. We don't earn salvation. We don't earn gifts. We don't earn fruit. We don't work to earn. We work to possess. And this is not a grace versus works sermon so much as it is some basic understanding that God makes the provision and we have to learn how to receive the provision. And sometimes in order to receive something, you have to expend some effort. If you received a message today from the Publisher's Clearinghouse that the prize posse was coming to your house tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning to hand you the big check, you would stop heaven and earth to be standing at your doorstep at about 8 o'clock in the morning to be sure you didn't miss the 9 o'clock delivery. And if you weren't there, you can't receive the check. But if you are there, you can receive the check. Like I said, we'd move heaven and earth to make ourselves available. You know, cancel all my appointments. Forget that I was leaving on vacation. I'll worry about that flight later. I got to be there because the blessing's coming my way, and I got to be in the place to receive it. And then when they come and they hold the big check and you take the pictures, at some point you got to reach out and let them put that check in your hand. Right? You see how the picture works? It's not so terribly different than the way the kingdom of God works. God has made provision. He has done the part that we cannot do. We receive even the most basic thing, relationship with God through Christ. We receive it by faith. It takes an act of faith to reach out and receive it. That song said God runs after you. He runs after you so He can hand you something. You got to reach out and take it even though He's running after you. Right? It's not automatic. If you got your Bible, turn with me to the third chapter of Philippians. We're going to start about verse 12 and we're going to look at some things here. But let's think about what happened in the first 11 verses of chapter 3 of Philippians. It's one of those places where Paul recites his credentials. He talks about how much he excelled in the learning of Scripture, how he was a leader, you know, even above what his age would have demanded, he was a leader among the Pharisees. He was born to the right people. He was trained under the right people. He excelled as far as he could excel in exercising his faith. And he gets down to the end of it and says, you know what? I count it all as dung compared to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Everything that he had done, everything that he had accomplished, in modern America, he would have had a room full of awards. Pharisee of the year. Number one, scripture knowledge. Persecutor of the way. He'd have had all the awards hanging on the wall. He'd have had shelves full of them if it was a modern world. But he says, he gets down to the end of it and says, but wait a minute. All that's great, but it's not important and it's behind me because something changed. And the thing that changed was I came to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And I submitted myself to Him. I received what He gave to me. But even at that, he says, when we get down to verse 12 of chapter 3 of Philippians, he says this, in the New King James, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. For brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now think about this. Here's a guy who had all the credentials in the world. You know, the degrees were hanging on the wall. And he laid all that behind him to pursue something new. And the pursuit was the pursuit of a relationship with God through Christ by the Holy Spirit. You know, I use that combination a lot. We have a relationship with God. God is one, but He is also three. And He is revealed differently. I say through Christ Jesus. Jesus says Himself, He's the door, He's the gate, He's the way. The only way to get to the presence of the Father is to go through the door of Jesus Christ. We could not make that door on our own. We cannot earn that door in any way. God provided that door, and it remains to us to go through that door. If these doors were closed and you wanted to pass through them, you have to expend some effort to get up out of your seat and go to the door and pass through it. We have to expend an effort to come to God. Not that we earn it, not that we could have possibly done it in any other way. We just have to receive the fact that God provided the door in Jesus Christ. And we go through that door by exercising faith. We say, yes, I believe Jesus is who the Scripture says He is. I believe He made this door for me. And I believe that I can possess that which He has prepared for me if I go through that door. That's exercising faith. Say, with God, through Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. No man comes to God unless the Spirit draws him. Scripture says so. The Holy Spirit is that part of the Godhead that reaches out to us and draws us. He is also the part of the Godhead that provides the power to do that which God is calling us to do. Whether it be the very simplest thing, which is receiving by faith the offer of Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, or whether it be walking in the gifts and graces that He's given to us, whether it be receiving that which we pray for, we have to exercise an effort, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do it. Because fallen man cannot receive on his own. Redeemed man can receive through the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot walk in what God calls us to do on our own in the power of the flesh. We have to walk in the power of the Spirit. So when I use that combination, we want a relationship with God through Christ by the Spirit. We got to have all the parts of it. It doesn't work if you leave any link out of the chain. If you leave a link out of the chain, it's not a chain. It's individual links. It's not connected. You can't do anything with it. We got to have all three of those. But Paul here, writing this to the Philippians, he says, everything that I've done, all my effort, everything I've done to prepare myself to be in this place is behind me, and I have not attained yet. Amplified says, I've not attained this ideal or been made perfect. You know what perfect actually means there? Mature and complete. An immature fruit isn't capable of doing the function of the fruit, which is bearing a seed that can produce another plant. An immature Christian is not in a position to do what they're intended to do either. We have to reach a level of maturity. Amplified, it goes on to say, but I press on to lay hold of. I've got to chase it out enough that I can put my hand on it. I got to reach out and take it. God is offering it to me. I have got to go to where He is and reach up and grasp it and possess it. which is done by faith. Sometimes you may have to physically go to a place or to a person. Sometimes it may simply be going to God in prayer. Wipe everything else out, focus on one thing. I'm going to God. That's the effort to reach out and lay hold of. Sometimes there may have to be other elements involved. God holds it out and says, brother, I've got this ministry for you to do, but in order to do it, you need to obtain this knowledge. You need to obtain this experience. And we have to go and do and put ourselves in the position to receive those things. Even though God will chase you down, sometimes He'll chase you down and He'll say, you need to go here. Jesus has prepared. God, Jesus, they have prepared this package for each one of us. And we have to reach out and receive it. And this is where it gets so confused in the modern church, because those two groups of people that I described to you earlier, on the one side you've got the I've got to do it all folks that want to try to figure out what God's plan is and adapt it to fit our likes and our wants and then go make it happen. Well, those people aren't, they're not doing it right. They're trying to do it in their own wisdom, in their own power, in their own knowledge. It's not our part to prepare the blessing. It's God's part to prepare the blessing. The blessing is here. The answer is here. The gift is here. The fruit is here. So our part is to put ourselves in a position to receive it. And when He holds it out, to reach out and grasp it. Those who want to do it all on their own, odds are going to end up not with the real thing, but with an imitation. They're going to find something that looks good, sounds good, may feel good, much like those people who are hurting, who have a need that we talked about earlier today, and instead of getting their need met legitimately, they fall into an addictive pattern to try to medicate their need, whether it be drugs or alcohol or relationships or whatever it may be. If you try to do it on your own, you're going to get an illegitimate answer. But then there's that other group. God's going to bless me, and I'm going to sit here till God blesses me. And God says, if you get up off that stool and walk to the other side of the stage, your blessing's over here where I've had it laid up for you since the beginning of time. I'm just going to sit here. If God wants it done, He'll do it. He'll make me do it. No, He won't. He may push you in the right direction. Circumstances may cause you to want to go, but if you don't expend the effort to reach out and take what God hands you, you're never going to possess it. You see, we fall into these niches. You've got the eager beavers on one side that want to be God, and you've got the slugs on the other side that are waiting for God to hit them upside the head with the answer. Both of them are wrong. We got to understand what our part is and what God's part is. See, Christianity is active, but it's not active to the extent that it overruns God. We need to hear Him. We need to understand Him. We need to learn of Him, which we do in so many different ways, by getting in Scripture, by getting in prayer, by being with people who are Christians who know Him and know how He operates. We've got to do our part, but we can't override Him and try to be God. Neither can we sit there and expect Him to be God when we don't do our part in a relationship. Paul says he had to press on toward the goal. And in verse 13, there's a word apprehended. You know, we all have watched enough cop dramas to know that when you apprehend the fugitive, you expend effort and you go catch him and you arrest him, right? You lay hold of him. Well, it's interesting. Verse 13 in the Amplified says, I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. Now, wait a minute. We're talking about the Apostle Paul. We're talking about a man who knew Scripture better than I'll ever know it. We're talking about a man who was zealous enough to try to go stamp out a bunch of what he thought were infidels. We're talking about a man who, once Jesus touched him, responded with just as much zeal to proclaim Jesus as he did trying to stamp out the name of Jesus. We're talking about a man who traveled all over the Mediterranean basin planting churches and preaching the gospel. We're talking about a man who wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament. And he says, well, wait a minute, I'm not telling you that I've got a hold of it yet. I'm still reaching for it. And if he can say, I have not grasped it, captured it, and made it my own. I want to keep on straining forward. You ever been in a situation where maybe you're kind of restricted in your movement and you really need something that's just almost out of reach and you strain every fiber of your being to reach out and grab a hold of it? I dropped the key. The key's just out of my reach and I've got my shoulder in the fence up to here and I need another half inch. That's straining to reach something, right? Do we expend that much effort to try to apprehend the things that Christ has for us? Or do we sit and say, well, maybe somebody will give it to me when they come by. Maybe a wind will come up real strong and blow it over here where I can reach it. Maybe I'll call Bruce and he'll come bring it to me. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it's my one aspiration. It's the only thing on my mind. It's the only thing I want to do. It's the only thing I want to accomplish. Forgetting what lies behind, all those accomplishments and accolades and everything that he's done. Forgetting what lies behind, I'm straining forward for the next step. Straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. How important is it to you? Is it life and death? Is it heaven or hell? Is it victory or defeat? Is it food or starvation? What are you straining for? What gets your effort? What's your singular focus? Many of you know I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and Mike Tomlin has a saying that he uses just about every week. We need to be singularly focused on this week's game. Singularly focused. Boy, that pays dividends when Christians are singularly focused on attaining what God has called them to be. That's the one thing. I don't want to hear about the playoffs. I don't want to hear about your personal record. We need to be singularly focused on the win today. We need to be singularly focused in expending our effort toward being where Christ wants us to be instead of being divided. Put a little effort over here, a little effort over there, scattered here, there. I can't figure out what to do next, so I'm going to sit here and do nothing. Guilty. I get so many things on my agenda sometimes, I'll sit there and stare at the computer screen for hours because I can't figure out which one to do first. Could have got them all done if I'd started and worked on one of them. Can't figure out which one's most important. Can't figure out which one I want to work on, so I don't do anything. Play another game of Mahjong. We've got to know what part is God's part and what part is our part. And when we figure out that formula, it's God's part to make provision. It's God's part. You know, He made provision for us. He sent Christ Jesus, right? He made provision for our relationship with Him. What's our part? To reach out and grasp that and take it. In order to be born again, God offers, we by faith receive. He offers, we respond. He offers, we respond. To respond is to expend effort. You got to open your mouth and say, yes, Lord, I realize that I am a sinner. I realize that Jesus came to pay the price for my sin and that I can receive the merits of that if I receive Him into my life. That's applying effort and action to reach out and grasp that which has been offered. It's God's part to provide the fruit of the Spirit. It's our part to receive the fruit of the Spirit. We allow by associating with God's people, by getting into God's Word, by praying, by honestly evaluating ourselves and trying to incorporate what God has brought into us, we receive the character of God, the fruit of the Spirit, when we apply effort to reach out and take it. We don't earn it. Can't earn it. It's a gift. But we have to receive the gift. Same thing with the gifts of the Spirit. The power of God manifest in the people of God. It's His province to provide it and to offer it. We got to put ourselves in a position to receive it. We got to possess the fruit of the Spirit before we can rightly divide the gifts of the Spirit, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak with the tongue as of men and angels and have not love, I'm making a whole lot of noise and not accomplishing anything, to paraphrase it. 1 Corinthians 12 tells you all about the gifts of the Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 13 says you minister those in love, right? We reach out, God offers, we reach out, and we minister them in the way that He calls us to do. But it requires us, again, to be able to receive. Scripture says that He's laid up, from the beginning of time, He's laid up good works for Connie to do. It's her job to reach out and grab a hold of them and do them. And that's all of you, by the way. See, the church was meant to go from generation to generation in life and understanding. The church was meant to start in the age of Peter and Paul and pass on generation to generation the truth of the gospel message, the mechanics of the gospel message, who you are in Christ Jesus, who you are called to be in Christ Jesus, what part is God's to do and what part is yours to do. But you know what happened to that plan? Human beings happened to that plan. As human beings, even born again human beings, some of them are just lazy. Some of them get frustrated and quit teaching because the people they're trying to teach won't receive what they're trying to teach. You feel like you're beating your head against the wall. Sometimes actually evil people come into the body of believers and steer it in the wrong direction and try to create an atmosphere of power and control. And it becomes not a church pointed toward Jesus Christ, but a church pointed toward an organization of men with their power and control. And in 2,000 years of time, we've lost a lot of clarity. If the church is to be the church in any generation, somebody has got to stand up and say, this is God's part and this is your part. God is faithful to perform that which He has promised. Get out of your seat and go grab a hold of it. Get out of your seat and do what He's calling you to do. Spend some time, spend some effort, not to earn anything from God, but to be in a position to receive something from God. If only the whole church, everybody that's sitting in one of these buildings today, had that knowledge and that understanding and had the will to reach out and do it, don't you think this would be a different world that we'd live in? But you see, so many of us have been sold a bill of goods. Come to the altar once, kneel, say a prayer, everything be fine. The scriptural term for that's horse feathers. It's a process. It's a process that requires an effort. An effort not to earn, but an effort to receive. We don't earn being born again. It's a gift given to those who will have faith. Our progressive growth occurs as we exercise our faith to reach out and possess that which Christ has laid up for us. We just can't sit by passively and expect to receive anything from God. We've got to reach out with faith to receive anything that God has for us. We're told in Scripture to crucify the flesh. We don't do that to earn salvation. We do that to be in a position to receive that which God has prepared for us. We're not talking about earning. We're not talking about works. It's learning to receive. We got to learn to reach out and possess that which Jesus has obtained for us and provided for us. Only then can the church be the church. If Paul of all people says, I haven't attained, who are we to think that we've attained? If he said he still needed to strain to reach out to grasp and apprehend that which God had before him, who are we to think that we don't need to? Verse 15, out of the Amplified. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions. And if in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make that clear to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have already attained and walk and order our lives by that. Everybody's a different place on this path. Everybody has been in a relationship with God for different amounts of time. They've been in a relationship with God with various levels of understanding and clarity. That's why we don't judge against each other, because we're all at different places in our walk. Anybody here a twin? No? That means we were all born at different times. That means we're all a different age. We've all had different life experience in the physical world. That's that way in the Christian world too. We're all at different places. And what Paul encourages the Philippians to do here is to walk worthy of where you are and keep striving forward to grow. See, growth is a continuous process. Don't worry about judging yourself against somebody who's got more or less experience in the Christian walk than you do. It's not your job. It's not beneficial. What it is beneficial is this. You walk to the level that you are and keep trying to grow and grow and grow. We grow when we know Christ better. We know when we know His people better. We grow when we attain more and more experience in Him. And that, as I said before, requires effort. God provides the path. He provides the blessings. He provides the knowledge. We got to go to where it is and receive it and grasp it and hold it and possess it. Only let us hold true to what we've already attained and walk and order our lives by that. But don't be satisfied there. Paul didn't write that. I just threw that last part in. Don't be satisfied. Keep reaching. Keep straining. Keep growing. That's the picture he's painting, isn't it? When you take that whole passage in context, don't let it sit there and spoil. Use what you got and get in a position to receive more. Where are you today? Are you in one of those camps of, I got to do it all for God, I got to do the planning, I got to do the research, I've got to acquire and obtain everything, and I got to make it work my way? If you're in that camp, then you need to repent and you need to draw near and let God do it His way. Are you in the other camp? Are you in the, I've been sitting on my hands and I'm waiting for God to drop it in my lap? Sure, I might have prayed a little bit, but I haven't really studied. I haven't fasted. And yeah, there's a need, and I pray that God will send somebody to go fill that need, even though it was my idea. If you're in that camp, you need to repent also and say, God, how do you want to use me? What do you want me to do? How do I get in a position to possess that which you have placed in my heart to desire? Or are you in a third camp, the camp that never thought about it this way before, and aren't really sure where you are? And maybe you see elements of both of those sides in your thinking. Or maybe nobody has ever told you that it requires effort to possess what God has prepared for you. You need to repent of that too and say, you know what, I never knew. I didn't realize. But now that you've unveiled this truth to me, I need to walk in. I think there's room for all of us to hit our knees over some aspect of this. Stand if you would. The altars are open. Altars are open. God's calling you to straighten something out. Do it. Do it back there. Do it up here. But do it. Don't miss this opportunity to turn a page and turn a new chapter and say, you know what? Let's see what happens when we do it God's way for a change. Amen. Altars are open.